Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the star line by the current co-host of a legendary wildlife show. One is a wildlife ecologist, TV host, author, and speaker. The other is a wildlife expert, conservationist, and TV host. We welcome the co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Protecting the Wild, Peter Gross and Dr. Ray Wynn-Grant.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Very nice to join you.
Friends, let's go beyond the mic. Wild Kingdom is back with a whole new season. Peter, when you look back at the original Wild Kingdom, what's the biggest lesson you've brought to Protecting the Wild today?
Well, I think there were lessons from early on back when the show started in the 60s, and that was how Mutual of Omaha would take people into the wild and learn about conservation and wildlife and bring them to their living rooms and share conservation projects that were being handled then. Not that different than what's happening now. It's nice now the way we shoot with modern technology and drones and long lenses and a very science-based show with yet excitement as Dr. Ray and I go to countries around the world. For instance, recently we were in Australia, and then we were in Canada and Florida and Mexico and Puerto Rico, all these exotic locations to talk about successful conservation projects.
Dr. Ray, you said, quote, "I hope viewers will be transported to exciting places far and near that are rich with stories of conservation hope," unquote. How important is conservation today?
Oh my goodness. Wildlife conservation and ecosystem conservation it's life or death at this point. We talk about on our show, Wild Kingdom, it's wildlife conservation focused. We're talking about endangered species, and habitats of animals. But the entire ecosystems that these endangered species live in are critical. If they don't continue functioning, then we're going to have ecosystem collapse. So what I often talk about is how, like, we're really in luck here because wildlife conservation is a good time. It's super fun. And it also helps to save the planet. And so I think it's really a win-win because it's not a stretch for Peter and I to really show how exciting and adventurous and interesting wildlife conservation is, while also asserting that this is what we need to do now. This is what we need to do more of.
I had a recent conversation with biologist Doug Smith on returning wolves to Yellowstone and the impact it made on the ecosystem there. Friends, what species do you believe best represents the urgency of protecting habitats right now?
Well, I'll say this, often I'm a child of the 90s. I was kind of coming online and into my consciousness in the early 90s. And around that time, bald eagles were extremely threatened. I mean, they were on the endangered species list. They were going extinct because of chemicals. And what happened was that governments and landowners and, for-profit companies and policymakers and conservationists and scientists all got together to create a plan and to execute that plan. And so folks cooperated and banded together. And the result is that in a pretty short amount of time, not only were bald eagles off the endangered species list, but, we can look at today, they're everywhere. you'll be driving down the freeway and you'll see a bald eagle. And that's a really huge change. And so if there's any symbol of wildlife conservation, I think our American symbolic animal is a really, really great one. It's conservation success and it's cooperation.
I can't tell you how many eagles I saw while I was in Alaska.
Oh, I bet. I mean, the last bald eagle I saw was off the freeway when I was driving to the Orlando, Florida airport. And so I thought, if I'm seeing them at the airport in Florida, then I know they really must be doing well because they're all over the place. And they're, don't even get me started, but they're a species that has this incredible impact on ecosystems because the way that they fish and hunt for food actually creates entire micro ecosystems, in the places where they live, and they're essential and they're also majestic. I mean, it's just a great example of conservation at work.
Peter?
I think that, and that's sort of the key of what's happening with our new version of Wild Kingdom, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom Protecting the Wild, is we're pointing out species that were on the endangered species list and talking about successful conservation programs. When I was growing up, I remember hearing about alligators and how endangered they were. And one of our very first shows was dealing with alligators in the original show, and they are now no longer on the endangered species list. We recently did a show about Mexican wolves that were very, very endangered, on the brink of extinction, and those were collected and under human care. And Dr. Ray then brought some pups to New Mexico, where I then climbed a mountain with biologists, and we placed them in a den of wolves with a mother that already had pups. Now, this is called fostering. As long as the new pups smelled like the old pups, so we rubbed a little of the scent from the old pups on the new ones, if you know what I mean. When the mother came back, apparently she doesn't do math that well. She looked at all these pups and started taking care of them, and they are all going to be raised as wild pups. So, and I think about in another season, we did a show on Blackfoot ferret. Well, they were actually thought to be extinct when I was growing up, and they're having a resurgence. Some bears are coming back, some whales are coming back. Dr. Ray and I went to San Ignacio Lagoon, and gray whales were almost whaled to extinction. And there's a protected area in Mexico where they come to calve every year. And we were fortunate enough to go out in Pongas and have a couple of whales decide to come close to us to sort of check us out and see what we were doing there and see that their numbers are gradually, slowly on the increase. One of the longest migration of any mammal in the world is gradually making an impact. And I should probably let Dr. Ray tell this story, but she was sort of enamored by a whale, or I think maybe the whale was enamored by her. You might
Oh.
want to.
Well, we were in a place where there were a lot of rules because these gray whales in the Pacific only go to one spot to give birth to their calves and nurse their calves before they head back up north into a northern part of the Pacific. And so, although it was okay to have a certain number of boats in the water around the whales, there was strict enforcement. I mean, we were really abiding by the laws that the biologists had worked with the Mexican government to set up to make sure that this was truly a sanctuary for these female whales. And so one of the rules is that you and your little boat, which is more of like a raft, you're not allowed to approach the animals. They have to approach you. And so you might have one of those days where they really, don't want to deal with humans. Or you might luck out and they're going to be a little curious. And we were so fortunate that several times a mother whale and her calf would approach our boat to the point that we could reach into the water, touch their skin, kind of say hello, look in their eyes, make eye contact. And it was incredibly, moving and spiritual and this just wonderful connection. It's all caught on camera, so you will see it.
The co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom Protecting the Wild, Peter Gross, and Dr. Ray Wynn Grant joins us beyond the mic. And it's time for the Rocking Eight. All this is a random questions, friends. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There's no pressure. Since we have two guests, we'll alternate questions. We'll start with the hardest question ever. Yes, no, or maybe. Dr. Ray, was it easier to prepare for Wild Kingdom episode than getting interviewed by John Legend? Yes, no, or maybe.
It was easier to get interviewed by John Legend. Every Wild Kingdom episode is totally different in a different part of the world with a different wild animal, and you never know what's going to happen. An interview, though, on a celebrity's couch, I mean, that's a little more straightforward.
I'll take that as no. Okay, Peter, yes, no, or maybe. One of your first episodes from Wild Kingdom was diving with the great white shark. Your son said, quote, "You're bait," unquote. Have you tried to convince the producers to put Ray in a shark cage yet?
Actually, they have done one better than that. We were in the Bahamas at Paradise Island, and they said, "Ray, you don't get a shark cage. You're going to snorkel around the top of the water without a shark cage. Peter, you're going down and sit on the bottom with sharks, and they're going to circle around you." And I did have actually have one brush against the top of my head. And the good news is
Wow.
we're changing our image of sharks, realizing that sharks aren't these marauders out there in the ocean looking for people to eat. They're a very important part of the ecosystem. They're a key species to keep other animals in check, and that we should respect and realize the importance is that we have sharks. So yes, without a cage, and yes, indeed, experience I shall never ever forget.
Dr. Ray, what's your favorite animal?
Oh, it's admittedly a bald eagle. It's my favorite animal, which is why it came to mind earlier. But, I've never studied them. I've only gotten up close and personal with them a couple of times.
Peter, what's the most underappreciated animal in your opinion?
Wow, most underappreciated animals. I have to say that there are certain species of snakes that, let's say, have had bad press for many years. But when you think of the importance, we recently did a show about indigo snakes, these incredibly beautiful snakes that reside in Florida that were disappearing. And now they figured out how to have them reproduce in captivity and release them back to the wild. And when people think, I even hear young people use the word yuck when they talk about snakes. But when you realize that they are eating rodents, conservatively one rodent a week, and each rodent had tiny little pinkies born about every 6 weeks, killing one snake would mean there'd be over 100,000 of these rodents that can possibly carry disease. That might not be, that might still be around. So, regardless of whether it's an animal, a spider, or a beautiful dolphin, or a whale, or some of the animals you'll see on our show, like Canadian lynx and wolverines and coho salmon and kangaroos and all amazing marsupials, and all these animals that you're going to see on season 3, which drops this Saturday on NBC, in the time slot The More You Know. You won't believe the variety of animals from around the world that you're going to see.
Dr. Ray, when was the last time you took your kids to the beach? And did you teach them a lesson or let them play?
We're very fortunate. We live at the beach, so we can take about a 9-minute walk and be right on the shores with views of the Channel Islands. So the last time I took my kids to the beach was on Sunday, and we definitely talk about all the critters and the micro ecosystems that we have there. It's really a fun time for all.
Peter, what's the best memory from rural Hudson, New York?
Oh, being able to walk out my back door and walk into the woods. Quiet. There was a small pond. It had trout in it. It was surrounded with deciduous trees in the fall when everything is in full bloom. I would walk out the back of my Dutch door and head into the woods and just explore nature. I was so fortunate to have that as my childhood playground.
Dr. Ray, one place that opened your eyes to a whole new level.
Oh, that is an easy question for me. I have spent 20 years studying wild animals and wild places all over the world, but it wasn't until I joined the Wild Kingdom family for season one that I got underwater. And I don't just mean, kind of at the beach or like for fun recreationally, but like taking a boat out, hours into the deep ocean and diving in. And I have been opened into an entirely new world, which is the marine space with sharks, whales, I mean, coral reefs, everything you can imagine. And it's a place that I always loved and believed in protecting, but never had actual experiences in. So I'm in the ocean these days, and it has been a whole new world.
Peter, sunrises or sunsets?
Sunrises. I like to be up and out early and would start the day that way. And I don't think I've missed very many sunsets either. We have sort of a tradition in our family. My young sons start their day early and are fortunate enough to be near the water, and I get a picture of a sunrise almost every day.
The co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Protecting the Wild, Peter Gross and Dr. Ray Wynn Grant joined us beyond the mic for the back half. Dr. Ray, as you work with Peter, you bridge a powerful show to a new generation. How has his passion and experience helped you?
Oh my goodness. I learn from Peter by watching him in action every single time that we film together. I thought that I, was pretty good at this, was pretty good at science communication before I started hosting Wild Kingdom. But I remember that from the very first time we were on set together, which of course was in the field, in the wilderness, I was watching the way he asked questions, watching the way he kept active while he was listening to responses from the scientists, watched the way that he handled wildlife, pointed to the camera. He was so, Peter has this very like kind of quietly dignified way of being very active on camera without being noisy about it. And it's something I've been trying to copy, actually, but he is just a legendary host and someone that I have watched on camera for years and have been inspired.
Peter, how does Dr. Ray's energy influence Wild Kingdom for the future?
Oh, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to our show. She brings so much to the show, her background, her education, her knowledge, her energy, and how well she is around animals and willing, really, to try anything. Sure, I'll get in a kayak and paddle out and see some sharks off the Santa Barbara. Oh, that shark's about the same size as my kayak. Isn't this interesting? or sure. I have yet to see a situation where we film, and continuing the legacy of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom is something we're both very proud of. But there are so many unique locations, and we do our homework carefully, and we have a lot of local knowledge, and we work with local experts. But a lot of what we do is a first. I think some of it may be a little bit more of a first for Ray than it is for me, but she's up for anything. Let's go do it. Sure, I'll go in that cave and look at those bats. Oh, and look at the size of those spiders that are falling on my hair. So she's up for anything.
Dr. Ray, you said, quote, "There are no rules to this thing called life, and especially non-traditional careers," unquote. How has this career and this opportunity changed you?
Oh, my goodness. I was in the academic space and fully in it, you know, having done a whole bunch of degrees and then a postdoc and then, you know, several research positions and then really landing in an academic institution right before the Wild Kingdom opportunity, you know, came to me. And so being able to kind of straddle those two sections of my career, you know, one foot in academia, one foot in science communication, has been a brilliant addition because I really believe in the power of passive education or informal education. I think that people can learn so much, if not more than anything else, you know, by watching TV, by listening to podcasts, by reading books, by reading magazines, and being able to be a part of Saturday morning television that is factual, that is credible, and that is educational has been a super huge part.
Peter, you said, quote, "But the show made us all very aware that our planet had problems and we needed to preserve the natural world for both animals and our own quality of life. What kind of world would it be if we didn't have wildlife and wetlands," unquote. So what improvements have you seen since you started in 1985?
Well, what I've noticed is that growing up, I remember hearing about what were thought to be insurmountable problems, the use of DDT and how that affected eggshells on eagles and other birds of prey. I remember learning to sail, being near the Hudson River and being told that it's okay to sail there, but you probably shouldn't swim in the water. Rivers in the middle of the country that were so polluted they would catch fire. I remember hearing numbers of species that were disappearing so quickly. And then fortunately, through filming Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, we're getting to tell the story about rivers have cleaned up. Now you can actually eat the fish out of them. Numbers of birds of prey and that have come off the endangered species list, like the world's fastest bird, the peregrine falcon. We mentioned the eagle. The condor. When I was growing up, there were 24 condors left, and we thought that would be the end of it. Those were collected. Recently, we got to a show on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Protecting the Wild, which had to do with releasing condors back to the wild over the years. Now there are over 500 condors.
Wow.
So the message is that these conservation projects do work. We can solve problems. And one of our goals is to set the example for the next generation. We don't want to be just another gloom and doom show that scares people thinking it's too late. Our job, I think, is to educate people about what we learn from the experts, affect people's attitudes, make them aware we do have problems, and if we all participate, we can change the manner in which we share this planet, and I'm optimistic that things are going to work out just fine.
Dr. Ray, why large carnivores, and how did that position connect with Wild Kingdom?
I'm a large carnivore ecologist, and I truly believe that my passion for large carnivores came from just how much I loved watching nature shows growing up as a kid. I mean, when in the 80s and 90s, if you turned on a nature show, you were going to see A lion, a tiger, a polar bear, a shark, a whale, all of that charismatic megafauna. And so when I got the opportunity to actually start doing research and focusing on a single species or ecosystem, my heart really wanted to do, a large carnivore. I wanted to study lions and tigers. And I'm yet to travel to India and to work on tiger conservation, but I spent many years living and working in East Africa studying lions. And also, like from a more ecological standpoint, large carnivores and their ecology are really, really important. I mean, they impact, like you mentioned before, wolves and Yellowstone, right? They can truly impact the functioning of ecosystems and the population fluctuations of other species, including herbivores and vegetation and on down, soil bacteria, all the way down. So I found that, it's really cool. I love the charismatic megafauna, the big fuzzy, creatures, but there's also a huge importance to understanding their ecology and then their conservation needs.
Peter, how do you balance the emotions of conservation, the wins, and sometimes the losses when sharing stories with viewers?
Well, I think that you balance it by looking at both sides of the problems. I think that what I like to encourage people to do is start out very young if you have a young family or young friends as early as possible. I mean, really early, like carrying a child in a backpack when you take it for your first walk in the woods. And then eventually that grows into a trail hike and then eventually camping, eventually national parks. I think starting people early out, connecting them with nature, and as they become hooked on nature, as I like to call it, or attached to nature, and it becomes such an important part of their lives, then they too want to do whatever they can to help to preserve our natural world. To keep that balance, once you've have them aware of how wonderful it is to be in nature and can't imagine what it would be like to live in a world where it was all paved and we didn't have nature to retreat to, it's easier to digest the upcoming problems that we're dealing with. So it gives us kind of a balance. And then, as I mentioned earlier, just reflect on how big the issues were that we had in the past and how we were able to solve them. I can do the same, I think we can accomplish the same thing with upcoming problems. So to answer your question, I say we keep the balance, reflect on the problems of the past, create hope for the future, and little by little, we'll chip away at the bigger problems that need to be solved.
We'll sneak in a couple more questions with Dr. Ray Wynn Grant and Peter Gross from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, protecting the wild beyond the mic. Dr. Ray, if you could spotlight one issue in the future, what would it be?
So this is my opinion. It doesn't necessarily reflect the opinions of Wild Kingdom, but I believe that poverty, human poverty, and poverty in communities is one of the biggest issues that we need to tackle, because it's morally right. Taking care of humans is the right thing to do. And also because it greatly impacts the goals of wildlife conservation and environmental protection. It's really, really difficult to have healthy, balanced ecosystems when there are humans who are under-resourced. And a lot of our resources need to come from nature, or, there's just a lot of human rights issues that are foundational to have before people and communities can really focus on the wellness of wild animals. And so I really believe that, I mean, you asked about the future. So for the past, the present, and the future, I really believe that poverty alleviation needs to be a huge part of environmental protection projects.
Peter, was there ever a behind-the-scenes moment that never made it to air, and what happened?
There are a few of those. Back to early shows, I think that we were rafting the Zambezi River. I always like being able to start a sentence like that, which is under Victoria Falls, one of the seven wonders of the world, and above class five rafting. And we were going to do a show about the elephants of Lake Kariba. And we had our guides with us and our highsiders, as they call them, people who are volunteering to go through these huge rapids with us below the falls. And first time we ran it, we got halfway down and got to an area that was appropriately called Valley of the Giants. And our raft flipped over, it tore in the bottom, and We were thrown into the river and held under for a bit and took some time to swim back to the shore. And finally, I got over to the shore and they dragged the raft out and were drying it. And our lead guide turned to me and very casually said, Mr. Gross, next time this happens, you should probably get back to the shore much faster because in the eddies over there, that's where the crocodiles lay in wait for food.
Oh my.
And so, needless to say, once the glue dried on the patched raft, I hung on that much more tightly for the rest of the trip and said to him casually, this is probably the kind of information we should hear about before we head down the raft.
As scientists, how do you make subjects relatable to kids who might be just tuning in for the cute animals?
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong to tune in for the cute animals. I really like to meet people, especially young people, where they're at. And if it means like seeing, a really adorable panda, like you're going to see in the opening sequence of the first episode of season three of Wild Kingdom, that works. There are so many different ways that folks, and there's so many different ways and so many different reasons that young people will fall in love with nature and wildlife. And I think that any way or any reason is useful for them to get on board with our cause.
The co-hosts of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Protecting the Wild, Peter Gross and Dr. Ray Wynn Grant joined us for two big questions. Ray, your big question is, looking at your journey from field scientist to co-host of Wild Kingdom, how do you hope your story inspires others?
Oh my goodness. I would back it up even more to before I was a field biologist, I was just a pretty regular urban kid. I grew up in, houses and apartments in inner cities and had wonderful, wonderful parents that exposed me to the world, but didn't necessarily expose me to nature and wildlife and, the outdoors. And I hope that people know that about me so that if they are interested in being involved in wildlife conservation, they too can feel like they belong in this space, no matter where they come from or at what point they got started.
Peter, your big question, after decades of bringing the wild into people's homes, what do you hope your legacy and Wild Kingdom's legacy will mean to the next generation?
Well, I hope that I've affected attitudes about conservation for our natural world. I hope people who enjoy watching Wild Kingdom show will react from what they've learned from watching the show, will want to know what they can do. I hope people will decide that they should spend more time in nature. I hope they will be more frugal with our natural resources. And I hope they keep learning about conservation. Of course, one of the best ways to do that is to tune into NBC weekend mornings during the time slot, The More You Know, and watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom Protecting the Wild. I hope my legacy is that of an educator who has been fortunate enough to glean knowledge from so many of the world's experts and share that with the next generation, that it impacts their decisions in their life. I must say, when we say legacy, it's a word that I see down the road. I mean, when you stop and think that both Marlon Perkins and Jim Fallows were in their 80s when they were still doing the show. So frankly, I'm just warming up here.
Peter likes opening his back door into the woods. Dr. Ray is just a 9-minute walk to the beach, and they both want you to watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Protecting the Wild on NBC. Peter Gross, Dr. Ray Wynn Grant, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank
you. Thank you
so
much, Don. Oh, this was a great show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable. Thank you.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.